Take your Bibles, turn to 1 Kings chapter number 19. 1 Kings chapter number 19, as we finish out the study on Elijah. A man like us. And we finish what the Bible finishes in 1 Kings 19 by dealing with his discouragement, the way he got in it, and the way he got out of it. And so, reminding you in a little bit of review from last week, one of the things that opened up Elijah to discouragement was that he was weary from battle. And he had just finished a battle on Mount Carmel. And that battle was not only a battle of faith, where he battled against the enemy and he prayed to God, and there was that aspect of the battle, but there was also physical battle involved. He told Israel to get together the 400, capture those 400 prophets, and the Bible says Elijah slew them. I don't know how I would feel if I slew 400 people. And he didn't do it with an AR-15. It seems as though he did it with hand-to-hand combat, maybe with a sword, I don't know. But certainly he was weary from battle. He ran from Carmel to the entrance of Jezreel, ran quicker than Ahab's chariot could run, which is quite amazing of how the hand of the Lord was with him and strengthened him. That was a distance of about 17 miles. He heard Jezebel's messenger tell him that Jezebel wanted to take his life by the next day, and as a result of that, ran another 100 miles to Beersheba, left his servant there, and then went a day's journey into the wilderness. That sounds tiring to me. He was a weary man. When we are weary, we are very vulnerable to discouragement. Remember that. When you're tired, you are more vulnerable to discouragement. The threat of the enemy would be something that would cause discouragement. Jezebel's messenger came to him, and Elijah found out by tomorrow his life would try to be, somebody would try to take his life by the next day. That's enough to discourage somebody. The threat of the enemy. The absence of prayer in Elijah's life. We talked about that and how that God keeps those who keep their mind on him at perfect peace. Elijah, up to this point, had always followed the direction of God. The word of the Lord came unto him and he went. We looked at that last week throughout chapter 17 and 18. But when it comes to this threat, Elijah doesn't listen for the word of the Lord. Elijah, I should say, runs. And he did something without consulting God. And often that leads to a bad choice, and often that leads to a wrong path. He retreated to the cave. It's something else that causes discouragement when we isolate ourselves, when we become inactive. The cave represents a place of inactivity, physical inactivity, mental inactivity, spiritual inactivity. And the Lord asked him twice at the cave, Elijah, what doest thou here? Why are you here, Elijah? This is not where a discouraged person is to be. But that's where Elijah found himself. And when we're discouraged, we often want to retreat. We often want to run. We often want to hide. We often don't want to get up in the morning and do anything. We often retreat to the cave, and God asks the question, what doest thou here? Whoa, you're in the wrong place. The cave generally doesn't make discouragement better. The cave generally takes discouragement deeper. And Elijah retreated to the cave. He focused on me in 1 Kings 19:10 and 1 Kings 19:14. Often, discouragement gets me thinking a lot about me. And that's not going to help discouragement either. These are things, this was the way in to discouragement for Elijah. Then we looked at wiles in the trial. There was a trial here that God allowed, but there were wiles that Satan brought in the trial. Remember, the wile is to deceive. We learned that last week, the two references. One is translated lie in wait to deceive. The other one is translated wile in the passage on spiritual warfare. And we learned last week about the wiles that Elijah went from fearless to fearful. That wasn't from God. That was from the enemy. That was a wile. That changed his perspective. Bold Elijah, courageous Elijah, not under the juniper tree, not running from Jezebel. Elijah went from strong to weak. Elijah went from asking God to send down fire from heaven to asking God to take his life. Where did his faith go? Was that thought from God? I'd just rather die, God. That wasn't from God. That was a wile. The wiles work here in the midst of our trials. He works and he sends wiles to the mind. Elijah went from me and God are enough to I'm alone. There's nobody else doing what I'm doing. Was that from God? That thought came from God? No, that was a while in the trial. You have to understand that when you're facing a trial, you are very susceptible to wiles. If Elijah, one of the greatest men of faith in the Bible that I can find, was susceptible to wiles in trials, you can bank on it you and I are, to where the devil lies in wait to deceive. Elijah went from a spirit of restfulness in God at the brook and at Zarephath to a spirit of restlessness in his life. Running. Got to solve this my own way. Anxious about what's going to happen tomorrow. This isn't the Elijah that we read about in the previous chapters. But this is Elijah where he's at right now. He confronts 400 prophets, as I mentioned last week, of Baal in 1 Kings 18, and he flees from the threat of a woman in chapter 19. What happened, preacher? What happened to Elijah? How'd this change so quick? Because when a trial is brought upon a believer, there are wiles that come with it. And Elijah bought into some of the wiles in his thought life. And it affected him. But there's something else I want you to see about this in his life. Not only the wiles, but I want you to see the weight of discouragement. The weight of discouragement. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the weight, this kind of weight of discouragement. Number one, I want you to think about this. Here's all of Israel in chapter number 18. After Elijah's called down fire from heaven, and Israel saying, the Lord God, He's our Jehovah. Twice they said it, I think in verse number 38. Now, the leader, who his whole life has been about Jehovah is my God, and Jehovah is our God. And my life is out to prove that Jehovah is God, is gone, is in hiding, is under a juniper tree. All kinds of enthusiasm about people putting their faith back in God, but the leader's gone that led them to do that. Where's Elijah? What happened to Elijah? I don't know. I don't know where he's at. Under the juniper tree. Think about this. Think about how your discouragement may affect someone else and their faith in God. The weight of discouragement is not only, watch this, a weight on you. The weight of discouragement often is placed on others. And here there was momentum in Israel. God had just dropped fire from heaven. The altar had been repaired. The people were convinced, hey, we're not going to worship Baal anymore. We're going to worship Jehovah's God. But Elijah, the prophet, the one that convinced us to make this decision, is discouraged, is not around, is subdued the enthusiasm and the belief of God. Number two, it delighted Elijah's enemies. Jezebel didn't get to take out Elijah, but Elijah was no longer on her territory. You want to delight your enemies, just wallow in discouragement. Had to thrill Jezebel. Elijah's nowhere to be found. I wonder if somebody saw him out in the wilderness. I wonder if anybody reported back to Jezebel, boy, he looked pathetic. Jezebel would have been thrilled. The weight of discouragement. Lastly, the way out of discouragement. I want you to understand that when you're discouraged, oftentimes you're incapable of restoring yourself. The Bible says in Psalm 23, speaking of Christ as our shepherd or God as our shepherd, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. There is a way out. Elijah, his body, his soul, his spirit, all were in trouble. He was weary physically. He was discouraged spiritually. He was low in the three gas tanks of life, body, soul, and spirit. He was on empty. And brethren, sometimes we get there. What do you do when you're down and out? What do you do when you're discouraged? Number one, physically speaking, take some rest and some time to be renewed. Brethren, we live in a rat race of life. And God never made us to run all day, all night, every night. God made us to rest. You know, the first thing that is addressed here is that the angel comes to him and says, lay down. And I'm going to feed you and I'm going to take care of you. And he gets up and he eats and he does what? He lays down again. You know what that tells me? He was on the brink of exhaustion. Sometimes, from a very practical standpoint, what needs to happen when somebody is discouraged is they need to evaluate their life schedule and they need to make some changes. That needs to happen. Sometimes they need to take a couple days off and just rest. For some reason in America, we think that's an evil word. You know, the Bible says God rested, not because God needed to rest on the seventh day. The Bible says He rested and was refreshed. Now, that when I read that, I'm saying God doesn't get weak. God's strength is full all the time. So why was that written? So that we would understand that we need refreshed. And part of that is rest. And brethren, your body, your soul, and your spirit, they're intertwined. And we need to address all of them. And sometimes in the midst of discouragement, you just need some rest. And rest is not a bad word. Rest is a Bible word. And I fear that our culture in America, the productivity emphasis in our culture today has all of us running on adrenaline all the time. And guess what? God didn't make the body like that. God made the body to rest. First point, rest and renewal. Second point, he responded to God's voice and remained obedient. Even exhausted, even discouraged, he arose and he did eat. And we need to be sensitive to the Lord's voice in times of discouragement. Hear me, God speaks to believers in times of discouragement. God sends messengers. God sends a Christian brother or a Christian sister in times of discouragement to speak words that are fitly spoken for us at the time at which we need. But we need to respond to God's voice. We need to respond to what God is trying to bring to us. Maybe at the hands of someone else, maybe through daily devotions, maybe through a sermon that you hear on the internet. But hear me, God's still speaking when you're discouraged. Temptation is to listen to our own voice. And we need to be tuned into God's voice. Thank God Elijah didn't shove the messenger away. The messenger said, arise and eat. And that's exactly what Elijah did. And he went back to bed and he listened. We need to be responsive to the Lord's voice in these times. Third thing to come out of discouragement is return to God's work. Look at 1 Kings 19, verse 15. And the Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. This is God speaking to Elijah. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. Ahab is off the scene by this point. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of, you try to say that, Abel-Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. He's been under the juniper tree. He's gotten some rest. The Lord's ministered to him. He's been in the cave. God's asking him, what doest thou here? And now, Elijah, it's time to get back to work. And getting back to work is ministering to others. And so go to Hazael and anoint him. Go to Jehu and anoint him. Go get Elisha. He's going to be your replacement. I've handpicked him. You go get him. You get back to work. Brethren, discouragement sometimes causes us to be paralyzed in serving others, and life is about serving others. And so we can't stay in the pit of discouragement. He couldn't stay under the juniper tree forever. God said, get up. It's time to get back to duty in your life. It's time to get back to serving others. And we find here that there's a secret to coming out of discouragement, and that is returning to the duty of serving others. Last point I want to give you on coming out of discouragement is receiving the ministry of others to you. We're self-made, self-sufficient. I don't need anybody to help me. No, we do. Sometimes we do. I want you to look, if you would, at 1 Kings chapter 19 and look at verse number 21. And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and what? Ministered unto him. Most people that I've dealt with on the subject of discouragement don't come out of it overnight. Most people, there are good days and there are bad days. There are good hours and there are dark hours. And one of the things that I have found that helps people is if you will receive the ministry of another. I believe Elijah probably stepped out of some of it, went to Hazael, went to Jehu, probably wasn't all the way clear in his mind because remember all the wiles he was still dealing with. But God put Elisha in his life. And the Bible says Elisha ministered unto him. Brethren, one of the ways that our pride is demonstrated the most in our lives is a refusal to accept help, a refusal to ask for prayer, a refusal to let somebody come and minister unto us. I have been in situations in life where I have needed people to minister unto me. Whether I wanted to admit it or not, I needed to receive a ministry of encouragement. Hear me. All of us do. All of us do. We all need a ministry of encouragement from time to time. And Elisha got that. Let me give you one more thing and I close about Elijah. And that is this. Elijah saw God do what? Big things. Miracles, right? Seven of them in his lifetime. I mentioned that earlier in the series. We get to chapter 19, he's discouraged. God sends an earthquake. God sends natural disasters. And the Bible says in chapter number 19, God was not in the earthquake, and God was not in this, and God was not in this. What was God in with Elijah? A still, small voice. Brethren, hear me tonight. Sometimes we get discouraged when we don't see the big happen. But God was teaching Elijah a lesson here. God was teaching Elijah this lesson. My voice, my still small voice, is just as big as calling down fire from heaven. Elijah, there are times in your life where you need to be content with my still small voice. Yeah, there are big mountains and there are deep valleys. But one thing, Elijah, you can rely on that's consistent is my still, small voice. And Christian, it is the same thing in our lives. There are mountains and there are valleys. There's no consistency in life. I don't know anybody that rides a life like this. Same day, same things happen every day, all day. No, there's drama. But what is like that? Still, small voice. Elijah, make my voice as precious to yourself as calling down fire from heaven, as raising the boy, the widow's son, as seeing the food carry on for 2 years at the brook by the raven. Elijah, take this lesson with you as you come out of discouragement. Remember, my voice is always there. Brethren, that is a tremendous comfort.